Okay, so our topic for today, which I expect to continue next week as well, is plowing during Shemitah, plowing, hoeing, digging, and the current plan is to, it'll probably end up being a shear and a half, basically. It's not that I have a full shear on this for next week, but there's quite a bit that I'm not going to get to today. What I want to do is first define our actions. What are we talking about? What is plowing? What is hoeing? What is digging? Then talk about a little bit about plowing during the 30 days leading up to Shemitah. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. Then talk about plowing during Shemitah and some of the key sources on this issue. Look at the Gemara in the beginning of Moed Katan, which seems to give us some contradictory indications about whether it's biblically prohibited or rabbinically prohibited. Something that's important to know for many reasons, not least because if Shemitah today is Derabbanan, that changes the way we would look at this. And that will take us probably the bulk of the time. And then what I would have left for next week would be explaining the Rambam's view of whether it's Delraisa or Derabbanan, as well as talking about whether there are malchus for somebody who plows as a minor issue, and then a closing note from the Chazon Ish that I thought was fascinating. Do you end up seeing that? You've
passed knowledge? I didn't end up seeing that.
Okay. We'll end up seeing it, but it'll be next week, God willing. Okay, so first of all, defining our terms. What is plowing? What is hoeing? What is digging? So if you take a look at the first source, I brought you a sifra on Parashas Bahar. The pasuk says, "Vishafsa ha'aretz shabbas l'ashem," the land shall halt for God. Yachol milachpor boros shichem u'ma'aros and l'takin et hamikvos. I might think that that would mean you can't do anything with the earth. So that would include you can't dig cisterns and pits of various kinds. You're not allowed to fix a mikveh either. The land is involved. Talmud Lomar, Sadchalos is Rabachar, Macholos is more. No, because I have another pasuk that tells me that the concern is agricultural. It's about planting, it's about pruning. So it's not about anything you do with the land. Eliel Lazera of Lazamir. Well, that's only seeding and pruning. What about lacharish? What about for plowing? Leidur, which is hoeing. Lenikush, which is weeding. Ulekisuach, another kind of cutting back. Ulebikuah, splitting wood, which I think also is taking care of it. Minayin, how do you know that you're not allowed to do those? Tamad lomar sadcha lo v'charmacha lo. The way the pasuk is worded, with extra verbiage apparently, teaches me any work in your field or vineyard is off limits. However, there's nothing wrong with digging in the ground when it's not for the purpose of your field or your vineyard. So what we get here is that you're not allowed to plow. We mentioned charish, and you're not allowed to do idur, which we understand to be the act of hoeing. This is also brought in the Yerushalmi in Shavuos. If you take a look at source base, this is the Mishnah that the Yerushalmi is commenting on. The Mishnah says, "Mizavlin u'ma'adir b'mikshaos u'bimidlaos ad Rosh Hashanah." The Mishnah is talking about pre-Rosh Hashanah, during the period we're going to call Tosefes Shavuos, the added time at the start of the year. And the Mishnah says that you are allowed to fertilize, you are allowed to hoe in mikshaos and midlaos. So mikshaos and midlaos are areas where you grow kishu in and deluin, gourds. In other words, gourds, melons of various kinds. So he says you're allowed to fertilize there, and you're allowed to hoe in those areas until Rosh Hashanah. So the Rishalmi asks in Source Gimel, "Mezablan u'ma'adrin v'mikshaos," that we are allowed to do these actions in the mikshaos. Ma'olach Rosh Lahem, are you allowed then also to plow in those areas? And it says, "Tani, we learned, kol zman she'atamuter lachrosh, atamuter lezabel u'la'ader." We say, as long as you are allowed to plow, meaning for whatever period of time you are allowed to plow, you are also allowed to fertilize and hoe. Im ein atamuter lachrosh, ein atamuter lo lezabel v'lo la'adir. When you're not allowed to plow, you're not allowed to do these other actions either. So therefore, if the Mishnah tells me I am allowed to be mezabel and me'adir, clearly I'm allowed to plow too. Right? Even though the cause and effect goes the other way, meaning we're saying if you're allowed to plow, then you're allowed to do this. If you're not allowed to plow, you're not allowed to do that. Nonetheless, it's identical. The periods of time are going to be identical, and therefore I am allowed to plow, I am allowed to hoe in these mikshaos and midlaos up until Shemitah, and therefore I understand that at Shemitah my permission halts. At that point, no plowing, and at that point, no hoeing. Now, the truth of the matter is that there is a distinction to draw anyway, and the Rambam draws it. If you take a look at Source Dalet, look what he writes. from Shemitah Yovel Gimel Tess. V'chol ha-dvarim ha-elu bizman ha-mikdash k'moshe amarnu. He's talking about what you're not allowed to do leading up to Rosh Hashanah. And he says that the prohibition against various activities pre-Rosh Hashanah was during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, and that's a discussion when you see the Yerushalmi in the beginning of Shvi'is, you realize that they talk about these Shnei Prakim, two periods of time, and they say that these were for the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And then he writes, Avo Bizman Hazeh, but today, Mutar Bavodas Haaretz Ad Rosh Hashanah. Today you're allowed to work land until Rosh Hashanah. Af bizman ha-mikdash, even during the mikdash, mutar lesakel lezabel hasados velado ha-mikshos ha-midlos uveis ha-shlachan ad Rosh Hashanah, even during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you were allowed to de-stone the fields, you were allowed to fertilize, you were allowed to hoe, and so on, until Rosh Hashanah. The fact that he says that it's only in the time of the Beis HaMikdash indicates that it's a derabanan. That was the idea. You had certain derabanans that were in the time of the Beis HaMikdash specifically, indicating that the Rambam believes that hoeing, which he has mentioned here, is derabanan. You follow? Again, let me make sure that that's clear. The general principle is that those actions of Tosefa Shvi'is that are added on to Shemitah, that are only in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, are the ones that are derabanan. There is a concept of deoraisas. We're going to come back to that. In the period leading up to the Shemitah year, but the ones that are Beis HaMikdash period, those are the Rabbanan. So the Rambam here says that hoeing was only in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, he believes that hoeing is fundamentally only rabbinically prohibited. Whereas we're going to see that most believe that the Rambam thinks that plowing is biblically prohibited. Where are you? Yeah, in the Mikshaos and Midlaos, but not elsewhere. So that's worth knowing. Okay, but what is the difference between plowing and hoeing? So they're both prohibited, right? Hoeing pre-Shemitah, it may be only Derabbanan, but fundamentally they're both prohibited, certainly in Shemitah. So what is the difference between plowing and hoeing? So if you look up the Wikipedia article on plow, and this is supported by numerous articles that I looked at on the evolution of farming, the goal of both plowing and hoeing is to turn over the soil. Right? I mean, we know what hoeing is, right? I'm assuming that we actually, know what that is. You take the action is fundamentally you want to turn over the soil. Why? Because you want to bring fresh nutrients up towards the surface. You want to bury any weeds as well as old seeds that you want to have break up, and you provide then a new medium for planting a new crop. Right? It's not going to be in the soil that just had all the old stuff in it. So hoeing is the older technology. Hoeing was the way that it was first done. You had a hand tool. And then plowing uses better equipment fundamentally to accomplish the same end. That's basically a Wikipedia perspective on plowing and hoeing. Rabbeinu Shimshon, writing on the Mishnah in Shavuos that we saw before, in source base, so Rabbeinu Shimshon is in source hay, he says the word la'adir, to hoe, milashon v'chol he'harim asher b'ma'adir ye'adirun. All of the mountains that are hoed with a hoe, and it's a bad section, that's a klala section in Yeshaya. But his point is only to bring the word ma'adir from there. And he says, Inyan chafira clay barzel shachofer bidei adam ke'ein choresh bishvarim. He says, it's a type of digging using iron tools. And you dig, but manually. You do it yourself. As opposed to plowing, which is via oxen. So the difference between plowing and hoeing, according to Rabbeinu Shimshon, is whether you're doing it or whether an ox is doing it. The Rambam, interestingly, there was a bridge phase in early plowing times when people actually pulled the plow. But that's not a concern by the time you get to the Gemara. But if you take a look at the Rambam, in source Vav, the Rambam defines me'ader u'ma'adrin chofrin bi'ikarei ha'ilanos, digging at the roots of trees. Now, the Rambam in and of itself is a problem, as the Tosas Yom Tov notes. because the Rambam is making this comment here that you see in source Vav in explaining source base. The Mishnah from the second parak in Shvius. So the Mishnah in the second parak in Shvius said that I am allowed to hoe only on mikshos and midlos, where the gourds grow. The Rambam writes, the ikari ha'ilonos, generic, any tree, apparently. So the Tosas Yom Tov jumps all over him. And he says, I can't possibly mean all trees. It can't be so. And he gives you a few reasons. First of all, he says, the Mishnah said gourds. That's number one. Number two, the Rambam in Shemitah Yevi'ovel, Gimel Tes, is going to say gourds. We saw it in Source Dalet. Right? He said, Mikshaos and Midlos. He didn't say any Elon. Further, he says, the Yerushalmi, when it applies the rules for plowing and hoeing, the Yerushalmi applies the same rules for plowing and for hoeing. And they would be saying, according to the Rambam, that this Mishnah permits then plowing for all trees during Tosefta Shvi'is, which we know is not true. You can't plow for all trees in the period until Rosh Hashanah. They stop at Shavuos. They stop plowing the trees. You're allowed to plow until then because it's for the sake of the fruit from the sixth year. But after that, you're not allowed to. So he says what the Rambam means to say is not that our Mishnah, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, is saying that you can, that you're allowed to hoe in all trees. What he's saying is, what is hoeing? Hoeing is what they do when they dig at the base of trees in general. So the Rambam is defining hoeing as digging as one digs at the base of trees.
And Mishnah is just saying, if there's a tree in your gourd field, you can still dig around the roots.
No, so, but hoeing is done for gourds too. The Rambam is saying, you know what this thing of digging for hoeing for these gourds is? It's just like when you hoe at the base of a tree. That's what the Rambam is trying to say to you. But it means that plowing is a field. Hoeing is at the base of a tree. It's a localized thing. Now, that's plowing and hoeing. So either plowing is based on use of an ox, as opposed to doing it by hand, or plowing is large field, hoeing is narrow spot. Now, we've already said that digging, on the other hand, may be permitted. We said digging cisterns is in fact allowed. The Rambam writes in Source Zion, when he's dealing with the avos of what you're not supposed to do versus the toldos, he says, Ketzad sha'aratol, Ketzad, I added in sha'aratoldos, Hachofer o hachoresh letzarech hakarka, if you dig or plow for the sake of the ground. Okay, and I'm skipping the rest of this for now. The rest of it will be important later, possibly. But the point right now is the opening part, where he lists a person who digs for the sake of the ground, and he says, as you see the concluding part, Makin oso makas margus midivrayen. He gets makas margus midirabanan. So the Rambam says you're not allowed to dig for the sake of the land. The Derech Emunah notes, this is not just about digging for the sake of the land. If you take a look at Source Ches, Chaim Knievsky in his Derech Emunah, says on Litzarach HaKarka, Koi gamal chofer v'gamal choresh. That's regarding both digging and plowing. Didavka Litzarach HaKarka Asur is prohibited during Shemitah if you're doing it for the sake of the land. And for the sake of the land, we will understand to mean to improve it. That's the idea, improve it agriculturally. But if you're digging to make a cistern, we've already said, that's entirely permitted. More free of rodents that are digging in your, they're digging their own holes, so you're allowed to dig to catch them, and that's not going to be a problem at all. What's the difference between digging and plowing practically? So the Derech Emunah takes the view in Source Taz that digging is in one space. And that plowing, again, is broader. Sort of like what we said with the hoeing. The Pa'as HaSholchan...
They're both Aser, and there's no meaning.
What's the practical...
One Kofar is Aser, but it's certainly Chorei. Like,
the difference would be, I don't know that we... Well, actually, no. Once he says that the distinction of Tzarech HaKarka applies to both digging and plowing, then does it matter at all? Only in the sense that the question would be, do I take digging to be the Rabbanon pre-Shemitah the way that I take hoeing to be? That would be the only possible distinction that I can think of offhand at any rate. That's true. And the Pasa Shulchan says on Shemitah Be'ovel Aleph Dalet that plowing is with plow and animals. Digging is people using iron tools. Which then raises the question, right? If the Derech Emuna says that the difference between digging and plowing is that digging is in one location, right? And the Pasa Shulchan says the difference is it people or using animals, then you ended up saying digging and hoeing are the same thing. What's the difference between digging and hoeing now? So the Gemara in Moed Katan says that in hoeing, one leaves the dirt where it is. Meaning, when I hoe the glands, what I'm trying to do is just turn the soil, right? So I pick it up and I put it down. When I'm digging, you want to dig a hole, it's a bad idea to put the dirt back in the hole. Right? When you're digging, it comes out of the hole. The Chazanish makes this point in Source Yud that your goal is not to get the dirt out of the field necessarily, but out of the hole. So if I am going to find a distinction halachically between them, what I am going to end up saying is the following, just to line up everything that we're saying. Plowing, large space, oxen. Hoeing is narrow space, people doing it, but the dirt stays where it is. And digging, narrow space, people do it, but they take the dirt out from where they're digging, from the out of the hole. That will end up being the split between the three.
Even for hoeing, we said narrow, does it need to be narrow space if somebody wants to hoe the whole field? We call that harisha then.
If someone wanted to, because he's still working in one spot at a time. He's still working in a narrow space. This is an act of hoeing. He goes over there, that's an act of hoeing.
Was the Farisha?
Like, yeah.
Is there a shear for Farisha? Meaning two amos?
Yeah, I think Telemechad, no.
I don't know. I didn't see it.
I didn't see it in Shvias, but I think in general, I think we do say that. I could be making that up, so I have to look it up.
What, you mean the Shabbos?
In Hechel Shabbos, yeah. Also the Lashon and Makos in Chafal Hamud Beis. Did you see that about Yesh Chorish, Telemechad, Chayev Alav Shiva? If not, we're going to come to it. Okay, so we're going to come. So, did you get that also?
No.
Okay. I didn't assign the Marmakomos, but it came up as you went through with the things they cited. All right, well, we'll get to that, God willing. The two other interesting notes that came up as I was looking through this piece. Number one is the possibility that you could be guilty of plowing by watering. And this comes from Hilchos Shabbos. If you take a look, I brought you the Mishnah Berurah in Source Yud Aleph. This is Hilchos Shabbos, obviously. V'amashkes hazroim, when you water seeds, chayav mishum zoreya. You are liable for zoreya, for seeding, demoa lehatzmiach, because you help it grow. V'gam mishum choresh, but you're also liable for plowing. Shemarpi hakarkai de'alechluach, because when you pour water into the ground, you soften the ground.
Be like cloth or yacht. Why would you wouldn't want that either?
What do you mean?
From watering a plant, I don't want the ground just to flow away from it. Be softened.
Well, I could envision a couple of things, but I'm going to let the Mishnah Berurah answer. I'm going to let the Chazon Ish answer the question. Okay, because what you're asking is going to lead us to the Chazon Ish anyway. But the Shaar HaTzion notes it's not so simple that you're liable for Choresh in Source Yud Beis. He writes in the Shaar HaTzion. Right. After having written that it's Zoreya and Choresh, he then writes in Source Yud Beis, "Va'ayin bo'or Zorua, Shadaito ka'arambam, de'eno chayav rak mishum Zoreya." The Rambam position, the position of the Or Zorua, is that you're only liable for seeding. V'kasach sham, de'lefizeh, be'karka she'ena Zorua. So therefore, what if I had earth that didn't have any seeds in it? And that's one answer for you, Yisrael Meir. Right? If I have ground that doesn't have any seeds in it, Asho medes lacharisha, even though it is ready for plowing, and therefore I might consider this an act of plowing, if I don't hold that by watering you're liable for plowing, mutul hatil b'mayim, you would be allowed to pour water into it.
The only way you can get to harisha is if you're engaged in the watering of actual seed.
Yeah. Achein das harisha, right? He meant to. Harisha, he's saying, according to the view that watering is not choresh, so you're not liable if you water ground that has no seeds in it. Because there's no zoreya.
Right.
You need, and there's no zoreya, and there's no choresh.
In order to be chayav on choresh, you need to be chayav on zoreya.
No. What he's saying is, according to the view of the Rambam and the Or Zorua, there is no liability for Choresh when you pour water into something. That's not called Choresh. Flat. Why we have to look at the Or Zorua and the Rambam? I didn't go that far. But therefore, no act of watering is going to cause liability for Harisha. no matter what.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. Achein, however, he says, das hasmag vagos mamarios kimaskonas abaye. The smag and the gosmanios follow abaye, where I added in brackets that it is in fact choresh as well. V'chein mashma gamkin das rokeach shehetik din zeh b'mlachas choresh u'mlachas zareya. He actually did include watering under choresh as well as zareya. V'chein mashma gamkin das hagro beyuro. V'lmagon seems to say that. So therefore, if you have unplanted, unseeded earth, you're going to have this issue. Okay, you could potentially have the issue of choresh if you pour water on it. Now, the truth of the matter is, I wasn't sure how to translate two words there. The end of the first line in the Shaar HaTzion, when he said, lahatil mayim is a phrase that we often use in Gemara to refer to urination. And so his question would be, what about, would a person be allowed to do that in this field? Keep in mind, the days of outhouses. You know, would one be allowed, or would this be called an act of choresh? That's the question. And the reason I stress that is because the Chazon Ish in Shvi'is, Yurches Beis, borrows the Shabbos distinction over to Shemitah. And so what he says is, what if you're going to pour liquid on the ground that is bad for seeds? And that's why I wonder about this lahatil mayim, whether that's what the Shaar HaTzion was referring to. He says when seeds are present, that would not be called an act of plowing if pouring in such a liquid is bad for the seeds. So it's not called seeding it, and it's not going to be called plowing it either. You're not improving things. But in the absence of seeds, it could be considered plowing, because now you're softening the earth. So that was the question. That was just one side note that came up in going through the Chazon Ish. The other side note is that the Chazon Ish seems to think it's only called plowing. Forget the watering discussion, generally. It's only called plowing if you intend it. And what I'm talking about comes from a Gemara in Moed Katan, which talks about, it's at the beginning of Moed Katan, starts on the Mishnah on Daf Beis, then it goes over to Daf Dalet Amud Beis, deals with the question of digging an irrigation ditch in a field during Shemitah. Right? And the Chachamim there say mutter. You're allowed to dig an irrigation ditch. So the Chazon Ish comments on that in Sos Yud Gimel. V'had lo chashvi lei rabbanan, Choresh, the fact that Rabbanan don't consider this person who dug the Amma, who dug the irrigation ditch, to be Choresh, Mishum Mashir Agape, because what you are doing is you are improving the dirt that's on the sides of it. First of all, you know why it's called an Amma, right? You've come across that at some point? Irrigation ditch in a field is called an Amma because it was an Amma wide. That's where it gets its name from. Worth knowing. But the Chazon Ish says, what about the fact that when you dig this ditch, you're now improving the earth on the sides. You've turned over that earth, and it's going to be a better place for planting. So why is it that the Rabbanan say you're allowed to dig the ditch? Ein sarich tam. So he says that doesn't require explanation. D'muvan hadavar kevan de'ein kavanas hamalach alakach. Because it's obvious. You don't intend that. Aval oder be'emes humachavin lador be'oder. As opposed to hoeing where you intend to hoe, and that's in fact what you do. But the point in bringing it is just to show there is an element of intent too. Because a lot of acts will soften the earth without your goal being improving the soil. So intent is
taking that in turn to, I mean, to understand the Chazon Ish, what you're not high up on Choresh. In the case of watering?
So again, I was separating out the issue from the watering discussion, but I wonder if it shouldn't be part of the discussion. I wonder if that shouldn't be. In other words, if a Chazon Ish is willing to say that when I dig a ditch, I'm not liable for the fact that I improved the ground around it because I was trying to dig a ditch, the same thing would be true if I poured out water for some other reason that had nothing to do with improving the soil. I would think that that would be correct. The Chazon Ish would have to say that it's not called Choresh either, even within the view that watering could be called Choresh. Okay, fine. So we've somewhat defined our terms. Plowing during the 30 days leading up to Shemitah is indeed asur. Midrabanan during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah in Shvi'is, Aleph, source Yudalid, Ad Emasai Chorshin B'stei Ha'ilan Erev Shvi'is. It's not just the 30 days, I shouldn't have said 30 days. How long are you allowed to plow in a field of trees before Shemitah? Beis Shammai Omrim calls Manchu Yafa Lapri. Beis Shammai says you're allowed to as long as it's good for the fruit of the trees. Because you're helping the sixth year fruits, you're not preparing for year seven. Ubeis Hillel Omrim Ad Atzeres. And Beis Hillel says that you're allowed to up until Shavuos. The Krov and Divrei Elu, Leos Ka Divrei Elu, and they're basically the same. If you look in the Rishonim, they discuss the question of which one is first and all that. Fine. The Tosas Yom Tov asks, he says, wait. He believes, as we're going to see later, that plowing during Shemitah itself is Dirabanan. So he says, why am I then not allowed to plow and to hoe for the trees during the period running up to Shemitah? If you take a look at Source Tezvav, V'im Tomer, you might ask, V'amaylo sharinan idur b'chol ha'ilanos k'mo zibol b'chol ha'sados? Why don't I allow hoeing on all trees, not just the mikshaos and midlos? Just like I allow zibol, like I allow fertilizer in all fields. That's his question. He says, look, both of these acts, the fertilizing and the hoeing, are fundamentally derabanan during Shemitah, he says. Like Rambam is going to say, he thinks, that plowing in Shemitah is derabanan. So his first answer is, because we're more strict when it comes to hoeing and plowing, because you're actually working the land itself. Aval, however, laharav, according to the Bartanura, shekasav shemashu midibrei sofrim b'tasef ha-shvi is logos, or he says flat, whatever is derabanan during Shemitah is not going to be usher in the run-up to Shemitah. So the Bartanur is going to have to say that he believes, in fact, that plowing is a de'oraisa during Shemitah. The Davka b'kishuvin u'duluin, and specifically during the gourds were allowed. Because you're doing it for the fruit of year 6 until Rosh Hashanah, who the Itiru. That's what they permitted. That's in fact what the Bartanura wrote. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the period pre-Shemitah. I'm focusing on what happens during Shemitah, just noting that.
So he's saying just that the gourds are allowed because that's what grows during that time period.
Because that's when the gourds are growing, right. Which if you've ever grown, you know, any sorts of melons, pumpkins, whatever, you know that's when they grow. They're late in the season. Okay. Plowing during Shemitah, which is, you know, what we wanted to get to. So, two psukim that we need to see. One pasuk here is Parshas Mishpatim, Sores Tesayin, V'hashvi Is, Tish Metena, Unetashtam. During the seventh year, you shall release the land and abandon it. V'yachlu av yonei amecha, which we've talked about, the Aniyah meeting, that was already our discussion regarding fencing it in. Fine. Second pasuk is Parshas Kisisa. 6 days you shall work, 7th you do not, you halt. You shall halt plowing and you shall halt harvesting. Okay? So, of course, I'm going to ask you the question. Those who already saw the Maror Makomos know this question is coming, which is, what plowing and harvesting are we talking about in Pasuk Yitzayin? Are we talking about Shemitah plowing and hoeing? Plowing and harvesting? Yes or no? Is this Shemitah? Versus anything. Is it talking about when it says, you shall halt your plowing and your harvesting? Machlokes. Good. Machlokes is because the first half of the pasuk dealt with Shabbos. Shabbos Bereishis. So what do you mean? You have to be talking about Shabbos Bereishis. On the other hand, why in the world would I be singling out don't plow and don't harvest? There's a whole host of malachos that I'm not supposed to do. Right? We have a separate discussion regarding Havara when the pasuk says, Lo Savaru Eish B'chomosh V'seichem V'yam HaShabbos, don't light a fire. So that's L'chalik Yatzis or L'lav Yatzis, right? Either it's teaching me that lighting a fire carries a unique penalty, unlike the other malachos, or it's teaching me the separate liability for each malacha that one does on Shabbos. But I don't have a similar idea regarding Bechorish V'katzir for reasons that the post can discuss.
Maybe I didn't see that, but Harish and Katzir are not the only malachos on Shemitah.
Harish and Katzir are not the only malachos on Shemitah, correct?
So like the same, you can ask the same question on Shemitah and Shabbos. Shabbos are asking, oh, why do they only sing about these two? You can say for Shemitah also, why sing about these two when Zriya is also Aser and Zemira is also Aser?
Right. Well, my answer would be that these represent classes. in the same way that Isachalosis or Bachamachalosis, where they represent classes or others.
Yeah, but then why is it Zuriya? I understand. I mean, Harisha.
Well, I would link Harish with Zuriya.
Zuriya, that's how they understand Harish. I still,
which isn't unique to me. We're going to see that.
Right, no, I understand. But it's still, I still think it's unique.
Okay.
I don't know if the question asked that question. People always say that's why Tafti Shop is, because why would you single out these two?
Yeah. Right. No, but I think the answer to that would be these represent the creation of the plant and then the bringing in of the harvest. I think that would be the answer. These are your two avos. You only have two avos when it comes to Shemitah, right? That we know from the Rambam. And one of them is, in fact, planting, and the other one is taking it in.
Well, yeah, the problem is, then why does it say Harish? Why does Duff use Harisha here?
I mean, the question would be, why do you use Harish instead of Zoraya?
Yeah.
Right. That's in a Hanami. So those are the two psukim that start us off. We then have to see the Mishnah in Shavuos, which I bring you here in Source Yud Ches. Two different views. The view of the Tanakhama here is the view of Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Mishnah says, "Becharish b'katzir tishbos." First view. Ein tzarich lomar charish b'katzir shel Shavuos. It doesn't need to mention the ones during Shemitah, because I already know that you can't do that during Shemitah. I have separate psukim about not harvesting and not planting during Shemitah. So it's talking about plowing before Shemitah, entering into Shemitah, as well as the harvesting of Shemitah, which prepares for after Shemitah. The harvesting part I'm going to leave out entirely. I'm going to pretend that line wasn't there. But the focus is, this is Tosefes Shemitah. The idea that you're not allowed to plow in year 6 to prepare for year 7 is, according to this, a deoraisa. You follow? But I'm going to point this out here, even though we're not going to see anybody write it explicitly yet. Notice that he says you didn't need to say plowing during Shemitah. Therefore, this must be talking about something else. Ergo, plowing during Shemitah must be asur min deoraisa. Or else I would have had to say it in the pasuk. I must know from somewhere else that plowing during Shemitah is asur min deoraisa. That's Rabbi Akiva's position. Rabbi Yishmael Omer. Rabbi Yishmael says, no, what are you talking about? This is about Shabbos. Ma charish rishus, av katzi rishus. Rabbi Yishmael takes the position that there is no such thing as mitzvah plowing. There is mitzvah harvesting, cutting the Omer. There is no such thing as mitzvah plowing. Therefore, the charish that is prohibited on Shabbos is rishus, plowing that you just do because you feel like it. That's what you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, because there is no other type of plowing in existence. So too, the harvesting that we prohibit on Shabbos is that which you choose to do. Katzir is rishus. Yatsa katzir ha-omer, as opposed to harvesting the omer, which is mitzvah, that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. We can have a whole discussion about this, and the rishus, and the chova, and what about harvesting for a mincha, and not the point right now. The point right now is, what Yishmael says, b'charish b'katzir tishbos, is in the laws of Shabbos. It's not about Shemitah. It's like the first half of the pasuk. That's the idea. How did Rabbi Akiva get from this pasuk to the idea of Shemitah? Where did this come from? Three different approaches. First approach is Rashi. Source Yates is Rashi on the pasuk as it appears in Parshas Kisisa. Bekach mashma'o. Rashi says this is how we read that pasuk. Sheshes yamim ta'avodu v'yom ha'shvi'i tishbos, which is not our pasuk, by the way. But it's okay. 6 days you shall work, 7 days you shall rest. I'm sorry, that is our pasuk. That is our pasuk. I'm thinking it was, I was jumping to the Rishali. Sorry. The Rashi says, 6 days you shall work, 7 days you shall halt. Va'avodas sheishes hayamim sheitarti lecha. This work for 6 days that I permitted for you. Yeshana she'acharish b'katzir asur. There is a year when you're not allowed to do the 6 days that we mentioned in the first half of the pasuk. So he's reading the pasuk as 6 days you shall work, 7 days you shall halt, but sometimes you can't do any of this charish and katzir, not even during the 6 days. You don't need to mention charish and katzir or shemitah itself. That's how he explains Rabbi Akiva's position. When the pasuk says in Parshas Bahar, don't plant your field, that includes not to plow. So that latter part is not my focus right now. My focus right now is just Rabbi Akiva's idea that this refers to Shemitah blends nicely into the first half of the pasuk if I read it as Rashi does. The Rikurkus on Shemitah V'Yovel Aleph quotes an approach like Rashi's from the Rash, but he says it's unnecessary because he says the answer is in the Yerushalmi source Chaf. Look at the Yerushalmi on Rabbi Akiva's view. Ksiv Sheishes Yamin Pasa Masach Chavim Shvi Tishpos. Pasuk says, and again, this is the one that's not our pasuk. 6 days you shall work, you halt on the seventh. Uksiv Becharish Vakatziu Tishpos. Ma'anu Kayamin. Ma'anan Kayamin. Where do we apply this? What are we learning here? What are we talking about here with Becharish Vakatziu Tishpos? In Linyan Shabbos Bereishis, if it's to teach me that you can't plow on Shabbos. Or lo sasecha malacha, whatever. Don't do malacha. Ve'im le'inyan shavsos shanim. But if it's talking about shmita, v'lo kvar nemar sheish shanim tizrasa decha v'sheish shanim tizmor kamecha. But we already know 6 years you shall plant, 6 years you shall prune, and not during shmita. So that's yet another pasuk to teach me that you can't plow during shmita. Fine. Not the point, though. Elaim eino inyan Shabbos Bereishis velo le'inyan Shabbos Hashanim. So if it's not going to be applicable to Shabbos Bereishis, and it's not going to be applicable to Shemitah, because I already know Shemitah, t'neyu inyan be'yisr shnei prakim harishonim. So use it for the period leading up to Shemitah. The Tosefes Shvius. Becharish v'katzir tishbos. You shall halt the charish and katsir. The charish shekatsiro aser. What's not allowed is plowing for which the harvest would be aser. Ve'ezezeh. What is that? Ze charish al erishvias. Shu nechmas l'shvias. That's plowing before Shemitah when the harvest would be a Shemitah harvest, and that would not be allowed. Ubekatsir shecharisho aser, and the harvesting for which the plowing is aser. What does that mean? That's harvesting year 7, enabling for after. So the Yerushalmi says that the way to read it is called an im eino inyan. If you've ever seen an im eino inyan, you know that im eino inyans are entirely illogical. Don't bother. Don't bother trying to understand them. That's not their point. What they say is, this pasuk appears in a particular section, but it actually isn't talking about that. It's talking about something else because it wasn't needed in its section, and it's a magic transplantation that we're doing here. That's the Imenu Inyan idea. The Rikurkus also adds in the fact that it uses the word tishbos in the pasuk. Is also good as a break of the pasuk. In other words, excuse me, sheishes yamim ta'avod v'yom hashvi tishbos, halt, Bechorish v'katzir tishbos, halt. So therefore, they're two different shvisos. The first half is Shabbos, and the second half is Shemitah. Fine. The Ritva in Makos quotes Rav Meir Alevi Abulafia, giving a third approach, which is really an interesting approach. Rav Meir Alevi Zal Mefaresh, Dechul Akra Nidrash Bimei Shemitah, in source Chafalef. He says that Rabbi Meir Alevi said that the entire pasuk is talking about during Shemitah, meaning the Sheshes Yamim also. The Yamim Ha'amuros Kan Shanim Heim. Right? Yom can mean year. Right? So therefore, the idea is that it's 6 years you shall work, and on the seventh year you shall halt. It's a novel idea, no? Like Yamim Oasor with Rivka.
The problem is with Shemitah, the other four times the Torah talks about Shemitah never used the word Yamim.
Yeah, that is strange.
I mean, that's why
he
rejects it.
He has other reasons to reject it.
Yeah.
He says, Ve'ez enough on Be'enai. This does not appear correct to me. Da'af agav dekasav kra Yamim b'makom shana. Granted that there are times in the Torah where it does that. Kidechsiv Yamim tiyegi. Right, when we talk about redeeming a field, so we say you have 2 years to for redemption, or 2 years left, whatever. Yamim o'asor regarding Rivka, avok sheyesh shana minyan kach v'kach. But when there's a number mentioned, the number of yamim, or biyom kach v'kach, lo karilu yamim, then they don't use the word yamim. V'lo kamar yom ploni, the makom shana ploni. It won't say the seventh yom when it means the seventh year. V'listom chazon amar malach leDaniel yomim elef. He said he has to deal with the pasuk at the end of Daniel, which talks about the time of the geula and so on. It says yomim elef, which we understand to mean 1,000 years, not 1,000 days. However, he says that's because Daniel is told to obscure everything. That's why he uses the word yom. The lemandim afarish to boy lomar shanim. If you accept that it's really meant to be years there, that's only because it's meant to obfuscate. You can't bring proofs from there. The inlanu bazel of Hirish Rashi's el. If you want to read Daniel, fine, go off and read Daniel. But that's the idea. So three different explanations for how Rabbi Akiva is drawing this from the pasuk. Okay. Okay, Gorgut. Rabbi Shmuel, on the other hand, says it's talking about Shabbos Bereishis and harvesting the Omer. So that's a second source we need to know. First was the Pasuk Bechorish HaMakasir Tishbos. Second is the Mishnah in Shavuos, as we've explained Rabbi Akiva's view. And then the third source is the Rishalmi that we just saw, so we don't need to go back now and see it, that indicates that Plyder Shemitah is biblically prohibited per Rabbi Akiva from Parshas Bahar. Okay? Fine. The only difference between what Yerushalmi does, though, what Yerushalmi adds to Moikatan, is that it tells us that he knows Shemitah Bechoshim HaKatzir Tishbos can't be by Shemitah itself, because it's already Aser from another Pasuk. Got it? Good. So that brings us to the Gemara in the beginning of Moed Katan. The Gemara in the beginning of Moed Katan gives me apparently contradictory indications. The first sugya is source of base. Moed Katan base to Gimel Amid Aleph. Tanan, our Mishnah from the beginning of the Masechta said, Mashkin base hashlachin b'moedu b'shvius. You are allowed to irrigate a field that lives off of irrigation on Chol HaMoed as well as during Shemitah. So the Gemara says, what? Bishlama moed mishum tirchahu. I understand moed. You're not supposed to do it because it's a strain. Uvmakum seder shau rabbanan. But on the other hand, there's loss if you don't water it. So therefore the rabbanan said mutter. Elashvius, bein lamanda amar mishum zoreya. Whether you say that you're not supposed to do it because of planting. Ubein lamanda amar mishum choresh. Or whether you're going to say you're not supposed to do it because it's called choresh. Zriya bacharisha bishvius mishari. How could it ever become permitted? Whether I take that watering is Zoraya or Choresh, and that takes us back to our earlier discussion, who in the world would permit that? So how could you be allowed to do this? Amar Abaye. Abaye says, Bishvius Bizman Hazeh. Abaye's answer is, it's Shemitah Derabanan. We've seen this quote before. I'm not going to go through it again. About Shemitah being Derabanan when you don't have Shemitah's Ksafim, the whole discussion about the answer to this Kagar, Shemitah's Ksafim, Rebbe, that's the whole piece there from Abaye. But Abaye says, the answer is, it's Shemitah Derabanan, and that's why the Rabbanan are able to be lenient. Rava gives a different answer. Rava Amar Afilu Tema Rabbanan. Rava says, you could even say it's the Rabbanan talking who do not believe that Shemitah's Derabanan. Avos asa rachmana, toldos lo asa rachmana. The only thing that's biblically prohibited are the avos of Shemitah, not the toldos, the descendant forms. Dichsiv, the pasuk says, Uvashana shvi'is shabash shabason yelaharetz, zarchalos is rav, achamachalos is more. Do not plant, do not prune. That's the idea. I then skipped a little bit within the sugya because it wasn't germane for us. Then he asks a question. Vatanya, but I have a brisa that says, Sad chalos is rav achar machalos is more. No seeding and no pruning. Eli ela zirua vizimur. That's only about seeding and pruning. Minayin leniku shuli idaru lekisua. How do I know about weeding? How do I know about hoeing and so on? Tamalomar, like we saw brought earlier already. Sad chalo, char machalo. Right? You now have to do the malacha in your field, not allowed to do the malacha for your vineyard, and he goes to a whole list of other malachos that we're not going to discuss, the various kinds of toldos that you're not allowed to do. So how do I understand that if you just told me that midah oraisa, it's just zriya and zemira, they're bringing a pasuk. The pasuk says, sachalosis, rachamachalosis, more than including all of these. So the conclusion at the end of source of base is midah rabbanan, ukras machta be'alma. All those toldos are rabbinic. The pasuk is an asmachta, it's linked to the pasuk. So the upshot of the opening sugya is a minimalist approach, in which we're going to say that if it wasn't mentioned explicitly in Bahar, it's a derabbanan. Got it? That's Rava's position. So according to this, plowing in Shemitah is a derabbanan. Then we get to the rest of the sugya in Moed Katan.
Is that a fair assumption to make out of the sugya? Because the fact of the matter is the sugya lists, I mean, out of the toldos, they list about 10 here. And they don't say anything about Harisha. So if the sugya is listing 10, it doesn't say Harisha. It's fair to assume that they're abducted at this point of the Gemara.
Well, yes, because Rava's answering the initial question. Right? The initial question was, how is it that you're going to allow watering? It's Zriya / Harisha. Right? And Rava's answer is, toldos are not the Oraisa. So how could he not be talking about
So that means, so he's also assuming that it's Mishum Choresh, not Mishum Choresh.
I think he has to be assuming it's Mishum Choresh, that's correct.
Oh, okay. So that, yeah. I mean, because he doesn't say that either.
Yeah, but he has to, because otherwise you're stuck. He has to be taking the side. We said there were two different views. Bein l'man d'yamar this, bein l'man d'yamar that. He has to be taking the side that Choresh is derabanan, or is, I'm sorry, that watering is Choresh, or else this whole discussion doesn't start. Right? I mean, otherwise I'm stuck. I don't know how to explain it. It's just done. Okay. The second sugya. The second sugya is a little bit further along in Moed Katan. Source Chav Gimel. Itmar. Hachoresh b'shvias. If you plow during Shemitah. Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Lazar, machlokes about your liability. Chad amar loke, v'chad amar eino loke. One says that a person gets malkos for it. One says the person does not get malkos for it. Our assumption, as we read through this Gemara, is that Rabbi Yochanan says malkos. Rabbi Lazar says no malkos. Okay, that the first name is with the first position. There's actually Rishalmi with this in Kilayim, but we're not going to get to it today. So chad amar loke, chad amar eino loke. So the Gemara says, Lema b'dirabi avin amarabi ila kamiflagi. Let's say that this debate as to whether they're Malkus or not ties into a discussion of Rabbi Avin quoting Rabbi Elah. And for this discussion, what happens is our Gemara is going to try to provide two explanations for this Machlokas. That's why I broke it out into bullet points. But the first point rests on a point that you have to know in general. Klal uprat uklal. Okay? Klal uprat uklal, he has done Ella ke'ein haprat. Right? It means that if you have a klal, a general set, and then you give specific examples, and then you generalize again, so we're going to take whatever we applied on the prat and expand it to that which is ke'ein haprat, the cases that are similar to the prat. Okay? In Shemitah, we have klal, prat, klal. The klal is, you're not supposed to be doing malacha, right, tishbos? The prat is whatever individual malacha we mentioned, so chalos is racha, machalos is more. Right? And then the klal is once again v'shasah ha'aretz, or whatever pasuk we're going to use, the land should rest. So are we going to expand from the prat of Zriya Zemira to things that are similar to that or not? That's the klal prat klal. You follow? So you have to know that going in. So he says it's a debate regarding the point of Rabbi Avin quoting Rabbi Elah. Dam Rabbi Avin Amar Rabbi Elah. Komakom shnemar klal ba'asei uprat belosasei ain dananos of a klal uprat uklal. He says klal uprat klal doesn't work unless they are all of the same kind. If the klal is an asei, as it is regarding Shemitah, tishbos, but your prat is a losasei, sadcha lo sizra, karmacha lo sizmor, and then your prat, your klal again is going to be an asei, so we don't do klal uprat klal, and we will not expand from the prat anymore. So mandam are loke, the one who says yes, there are malkos for plowing. Less like Rabbi Avin Amar Rabbi Elah, he doesn't follow Rabbi Avin's view. Say, and he will accept klal prat klal. Mandam are loke, and the one who says no malkos is like Rabbi Avin. He agrees with Rabbi Avin, and he says therefore there's no malkos for Harisha because we don't apply what we apply for Zriya to Harisha. So the Gemara says that's one approach to understand the machlokas. But then the Gemara says, "Lo, not necessarily." The kulei amal less like Rabbi Avin, I'm Rabbi Elah. I'll tell you what: no one agrees with Rabbi Avin quoting Rabbi Elah. No one agrees with him. Klal prat klal does work. However, man the amar loke shapir, the one who says you get malkos, yeah, because he expands from Zriya. Oman damreino loke is for a different reason. Amar lach, he says, look, michdi zemira bechlal Zriya, ubitzira bechlal kitzira. He says we have two psukim. One that says sadchalos is rabba chamachalos is more, but I have a separate pasuk that mentions zemira and bitzira. So he says, why do I have a separate pasuk for that? Lamayelta sakasvina rachmana. Well, as in vain is irachalos ibtzor. I'm backward on the pasuk. Right. So you didn't need to mention those. The Alamai Yachasakasvinu Rachmana, why did the Torah go out of its way to list those? Lamemer de Ahani toldos who the Mechayev, atolda achrina la Mechayev, say you're liable only for these toldos, not for others. Right? It's equivalent of Shnei Ksuvin Abon Kiechad. Right? The principle that if the Torah says something that it didn't need to say, broke something out of a category that it didn't need to, it must mean that only that is meant to be expanded and nothing else. So my limitation on toldos is going to be to Betzira and Zemira. That's the idea. So that's why the Torah broke it out. So that's, and therefore there are no malchus for Harisha. Clear? Okay, that's the idea. To which the Gemara says, really? Below, is this really true? The Gemara now offers a challenge to the position of Rabbi Elazar. Vatanya sacholos is rava, karma cholos is more. Ainli ala zirua vizimur, dot, akoshi avoda besad of a karim. That whole brisa that we saw before is in those three dots. That whole brisa that listed all the different malachos. So the answer is the same answer. Midrabban across nachta bialma. That's a dirabbanan, the pasuk is just in asnachta. That's fine. That doesn't bother us. We can deal with that one. But then the Gemara brings us Rav Dimi, coming from Eretz Yisrael. Ki asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he quoted the following lesson he had learned in Babel. Yachal yilke ala tosefes. I might think there will be malchus for the tosefes. We don't know what tosefes means. V'nasav la talmud aliptura. But we learn that you're potter. I'd have thought one would receive malchus for the addition, but the Talmud says no, one is exempt. V'lo yadana, my Talmudu, my Tosefes. But Rav Dimi said, I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what Talmud this is. I don't know what Tosefes this is. So the Gemara gives us two different explanations. Rabbi Elazar Amar, Harisha. Rabbi Elazar says Tosefes means the additional malacha that we prohibit, which is plowing during Shemitah, as you see from the words I added in brackets. V'achi ki Amar, and this is what Rav Dimi's quote meant. Yachol yilke al harisha. I might think there would be lashes for harisha, for plowing. The asya mi klalu pradu klal, because of the klal prad klal, not listening to Rabbi Avin. V'nasiv la tamud aliptura, but we have a lesson to say pater. Diim kein kohani prati lamali, because if it were true that you get, if it were true that you get malchus, then why do I have all of these prati? What do you mean? Oh, meaning Kitzira, meaning Betzira. Why did you break down the other malachos? That's why did Torah break out Betzira?
You have a Betzira between the qualified part of qualified and the Betzira. You have a qualified part of on the one hand, and then the fact that it lists these other malachos on the other hand, so we're going to say that overrides the qualified part of qualified?
Yes. That's exactly right. Yeah. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the Tosefes that we're talking about is Yamim Shos Tivu Chachamim Lufnei Rosh Hashanah. The Tosefes was talking about the pre-Rosh Hashanah period of time and saying there are no Malkos for that. So Rabbi Elazar says that there are no Malkos for Harisha. Rabbi Yochanan says, yes, there are. There are no Malkos for the time before Shemitah. There are Malkos for this. So one last source, and this is what we're going to stop with. The question. We now have that last section clearly believes that it's biblical. Right? The first section said it's Dirabana. That was our conclusion from Rava. Everybody here seems to be happy saying it's Dereisa. Whether there are Malkus or no Malkus is a separate consideration. Within the view that it's Dirabana, what do I do with source Chav Dalet? That I admit, this is one that I mentioned earlier. It's a Mishnah, but I didn't look up to see what Mishnah number. I just gave it to you from the Gemara. Makas Chaval from my base. Yesh Choresh Telem Echa V'Chayiv Alav Mishum Shemon Alavin. You could plow one furrow. There's my shear, possibly. You could plow one furrow and be liable 8 times. Choresh B'Shor V'Chamor, if you're using ox and donkey together. And they are Mugdash, and they're dedicated to the base of Megosh, V'Kilayim V'Kerim as well. U'B'Shviyas, and I'm skipping the rest because it's not relevant for us. The point is, Shemitah's on the list. And you're getting malchus for plowing. How in the world do you deal with that one? So the Meiri in Moikatan Gimel Amud Aleph Afal P says that the Gemara there is talking about a particular kind of plowing, and that's based on the sugya itself that I didn't bother quoting the source here. But if you look at Makos Chaval from the base, it's talking about plowing that covers seeds. And therefore, your liability is not for Choresh and Shvius. Your liability is for Zoreah. That's going to matter later on, because we're going to see the Radvaz is going to distinguish between different kinds of plowing, so keep this in mind for the Radvaz. For support for this also, take a look at the Ramban on Makos Chafal from the base. He has the idea as well. But that's his defense for saying that Choresh is only the Rabbanan. He'll say that this Mishnah here in Makos is talking about Choresh as Zoreya, not Choresh as Choresh. Got it?
Yeah, that's the approach.
Well, I guess
the Rambam also had it.
Yeah, well, as I said, that's the Radvaz. That's why this matters. I also brought it because it's a relevant source. Right. But yeah. Okay, so what we'll end up doing next time, I guess, is the views of the Rishonim and Achronim on this, as well as the special case of the Rambam's view on it, the Malkos question, why shouldn't there be Malkos, and the closing part from the Chazon Ish, all of that, God willing, next Friday. Shkoyach.